It's 11:59 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I've got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
Captain, a vessel approaching.
On screen.
We're being hailed.
Every weekend over at gearwebsites.com, our online store, we have free Patch Friday. And that means that every order placed on our store on Fridays is going to include at least one free patch. So that's every order with no coupons, no minimum order, no codes needed. You place the order on Friday, and when it arrives to you, it's going to have at least one free patch. Your support means a lot to us, and financial support is critical. So thanks again to the people who keep us online through purchases at gearwebsites.com.
And welcome, everybody, to our Daily Gun Show. Come to you live on Friday night at midnight to wrap up the week. We call it a weekly two-way wrap-up. This is episode 1710, and it's being recorded on March, which is the third month, so 308. It's 308 day. So I don't know how many people out there have been celebrating 308 day. Somewhere in here, we've got a image for that from back in the Instagram days and over on the calendar. Let me see if I can't find it. Or maybe a couple of them, actually. So feel free to anybody who's listening to the show today, whether you're listening to it on the actual day or not. If you're listening to it in the future, you can still participate. But feel free to leave a comment with your favorite 308. Do you have a favorite 308? Feel free to talk about the 308s that you appreciate. There's quite a few of them out there. And if I can find my 308, here it is. Our 308 picture that we made up a bunch of years ago. We take a look at some of them. So we've got the, your standard rifle. I don't know what rifle that is. Let's just call it a bolt action. But then we have our FAL, right? Pretty sure that's a FAL right there. Right arm of the free world. Grew up a lot of people with that as being the coolest 308 until the M60 comes along. And that is the coolest 308 by a lot of people's standards. Some of the youngins will probably like the SCAR heavy. Then you got your, what would you call this? A 14, M1A, M1A2. I don't know what this is. And then you've got your, is this an 1818? Fun semi-automatic, even funner full automatic. Olden days guns. So these are just a tip of the iceberg on 308s. So feel free to have a happy 308. Anyhow, I wanted to put that picture in here, but I couldn't find it before the show went live. I've been doing all kinds of stuff today, so apologize to everybody who's listening live. I don't even know how late we are. Are we a half an hour late? We're a half an hour late, so apologize again for everybody who was waiting around for the show. I know Gizzard sends a bunch of people over. Thanks to Gizzard for that. But we're episode 1710, and on the weekends, on Fridays at least, we like to look back at the week and check out the things that have been going on. And again, I'll apologize. I was doing some stuff this afternoon, and I thought I was going to have all after, or I was doing stuff this morning. I thought I was going to have all afternoon to finish this show up, and I probably should have done it this morning when I was farting around, because the afternoon got busy, and I did not really finish. So this is probably about 3/4 of the week, maybe 2/3 of the week, depending on how you've cut it up. And honestly, I don't even know if something big happened today. I don't even know because I've been not paying attention. So typically I put this show together on Sunday and kind of knit it together, slap it together, add things, stack it up throughout the week. And then on Fridays, I kind of straighten it all up and put it together nice. That's the whole point of this show, is to wrap stuff up for this show so that we can talk about it. Some people enjoy that. They appreciate the summary. But it's also the big real reason for this is what we're looking at on the screen. So if you're listening to this as a podcast, we're also live and we're showing this on the screen. But this is the Substack, essentially a blog of all the stuff we're going to be talking about today. And like I say, today's a big week for me, at least. I did get to listen to a lot of stuff this week, pay attention to a lot of things. But this is only about, like I say, two-thirds, three-quarters of it. I'm not even sure. So some of it probably just won't even get caught up this week, the way things are going. But we'll do what we can do, right? So this is episode 1710. We, again, post this stuff on Substack. We put it on Patreon. We do the newsletter. We have the podcast, which is out on all the different platforms out there. And the idea is to get this information, the people and the projects that we're talking about, out to as many people as possible, but also to have as many links out there as possible. So that hopefully we're effective. We're helping them out and helping, again, to promote and create awareness for these things that are important. We usually start out with news of the week, the Second Amendment focused news of the week, then the stuff that I've been watching that's focused on Second Amendment. Then after all that, if time permits, we get into the gun stuff that happened, just the plain old gun stuff that happened this week. Then we take a look at the radio shows that happen that are focused on our Second Amendment. We take a look at some military interviews and over at Gun Calendars, and then we'll wrap up the week or the show with what we did this week. Again, this is a big week. There's a lot of stuff that happened, and let's dig in. Okay, so first let's chat to the people and say hey to the people that are joining us live. There's quite a few comments coming in, and again, I apologize for starting late here. Agrizer was first one to say hey, welcome. Hillbilly Up joining us tonight, welcome. And Mayor, welcome. Let's see, I actually worked on my 308 set me, got the muzzle aligned with the bore for an OSS suppressor. Man, I never even thought about, okay, setmes are cool. I don't have a problem with setmes. I never owned one, but I'm more of a foul person. But I never thought about suppressing one. Those cans are pretty big. Those guns are pretty long, but it's kind of neat. Woods is out there joining us tonight. M1A is the coolest. I got you. Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. It's good stuff. I mean, it was working, but essentially just took way longer than I thought with doing some projects today. Good to hear the two-way is solved. We can finally get on with the grip angles, which my passionate about is my grip angles and my optics plates. And don't even get me started on forward serrations. Oh my goodness. We can finally have shows dedicated to that stuff. And then that's everybody. Nobody else is joining us tonight. Or if you are out there, we wouldn't know unless you say something. We've been straightening up, getting our podcast game in order. So we've been noticing the 7,500% increase in podcast listens. So thanks to everybody out there. And thanks to all the thumbs and the comments and stuff. Much appreciated. We'll start creating a portion of the show just to talk about that stuff. And so if you're listening to this in the future, then you can still be part of all this thing. Just leave a comment. All right, with that being said, the news of the week, I didn't do. Normally, that's the part I kind of polish up here at the end. A lot of the information I look at doesn't even come out until Friday afternoon, so I wasn't able to do it. So Wood says that 2A was solved today, so we'll have to follow up next week and talk about how it got solved, but that's good to hear. So let's get into the Second Amendment stuff that happened this week. And starting it off, like most weeks, many weeks, not every single week, but almost all of them, we've got Brooke Cheney, who's doing the Suicide Prevention Saturday. Just to mention it again, every time you talk about suicide on a YouTube thing, the algorithm is going to take us out. Doesn't like people talking about it. It doesn't know how to put that in context. But regardless, we appreciate those Patreons, the people that subscribe to our projects over on the Patreon platform. There's about 100 people right now, a little bit less. Hopefully it'll be a little bit more at some point. But people that subscribe to what we do, essentially keeping our servers online, paying for the software that we use, and the time that it takes to put into this stuff. So much appreciated. Like I say, when you say stuff like suicide every week and you talk about it on posts and things throughout the week, your channel gets just railroaded in the logarithm. It's just very difficult for the logarithm to differentiate why we're talking about it. So I appreciate the people that pay attention to this, that are interested in having more relevant conversations with our side about this issue, as well as the other side, who again are either taking this for granted or else they're exploiting the situation. So many good things happening on this front. It's been offensive to so many people for so long, and we're finally seeing some really effective work being done. That being said, Brooke Cheney is most one of the more effective elements of that, and she puts a consistent show out every week. Usually it's short and sweet. Occasionally it gets longer, or occasionally there's supplemental things to add to it. But it's a consistent focus on suicide awareness and mental health awareness, I guess, and suicide prevention. But it's essentially making it normal, making it more approachable for people to have conversations about it. Anyway, so we usually start the show off with, and essentially repels a bunch of people that just want to hear about guns, right? Because that's what they want to hear about. Grip angles, red dots, my opinion on something that might conflict with somebody else's opinion on something. Just the normal debates, when in reality, the reason we're getting pummeled is because they'll say gun deaths, and we know that gun deaths are suicides, and they'll conflate those gun deaths and the issues that are suicides with the issues of crime, which are two totally separate things. And because they're unwilling to accept responsibility for the political decisions and the policies that created those situations, it's offensive, and it's at this point unnecessary. It's always been unnecessary, but it's unreasonable to allow them to continue to exploit that situation. So let's get to where we can have these conversations about it. And we're going to win on two fronts, because we'll be able to talk to each other about this stuff so that it's, you know, preventable and it goes away as much as possible. So we can support the people that are doing good work to make that happen, because a lot of this stuff, they're turning out to be causality. It's a cause of things. So they're figuring out things that can prevent it. And that research eliminates the problems, the people and, you know, having those problems. And it also takes away the anti's ability to stand on those graves. So we'll move on. Again, it also helps to filter out all the people that are just here thinking, oh, the Daily Gun Show, this is just going to be some fluff show where we just ignore all the stuff that's really going on. Let's see. We had a conversation this week on Rolo's rants. I guess he just goes by Puerto Rican Pistolero now. But he's doing this Rolo Rants show, and he had kind of an interview show with Jera from Texas, Clearing the Chamber. Really good episode. If you haven't listened to it, it's worth your time. I think it's about an hour or something. They get it, you know, it's mostly their thoughts on mostly news of the day and the situations they got coming up with the election year. Virginia Citizens Defense League, state level organization over in Virginia. Their pathmaker. What am I trying to say? They are are out there leading the way, creating new paths. Can't think of the word I'm looking for there. But they are, they do their monthly meeting live. Live is awesome, and it's authentic, and it's real. So having their monthly meeting live, you get to know the people, the organization, has a it has it becomes a community. It has a something that you can see, that you can be part of. Unlike a lot of these organizations where you can send them your money and you can maybe follow a newsletter, you can watch a video here and there. You can definitely see the Virginia Citizens Defense League and the participation in the or in the members and the interaction and the instant interaction and the authenticity. It's all on display, and it's all, again, being done, I think, singularly by them. I don't know of any other organization that has the ability to do their meetings live like this. Well, let's see. Then we get this American Suppressor Association. They do a monthly update. You know, they usually just complain about the wait times. And in this case, I think that's all they were talking about. I'm trying to remember. It's been a busy week. If there's anything that stood out on this one. The other state level or the other organizations that are focused on areas of interest don't do as good a job as putting out information as ASA. So I like to focus on one because they're one of the only ones doing it, but they also excel at it. They do a really good job. Their production value since they started in 2012 has been, again, leading the way. Like, they really do well. When we're talking about suicide and mental health awareness, Walk the Talk America is doing a lot in that direction. In fact, it's one of the only national level organizations that's really, again, creating new tactics for this. One of the things they've been doing fairly regularly now on Fridays, and now they did two of them this week, one on Thursday and one on Friday, is have live podcasts. I only put one of them in here, like I said, I didn't get the show finished. But they had one this morning as well, and then they had one yesterday. Pretty good stuff. And they're usually about an hour to 90 minutes long. And again, it's live, so you have the opportunity to hear what they're talking about and be part of it, but also ask questions. It's very interactive. They're capable at live shows, in other words. I want to thank our coffee sponsor today, which is whoever wants to super chat can be the coffee sponsor. Thank you. I forgot who sent me this coffee. Somebody sent me this coffee a while back, a long time ago. Someone that roasts it themselves. I don't want to say because I can't remember who it is now. I think I remember, but I don't want to assume that I'm remembering correctly, I guess. All right, so next up is the Gun Owners of America. So, man, is this a distraction? Is this seriously the best they got? Or is this intentional to keep people from paying attention to other stuff? Obviously, I could play the whole thing, which is difficult to watch, but this is some kind of, I don't even know what it was. Was it a news show? But the ATF had what's-his-face on and this other guy showing a bunch of guns. I'm going to go ahead and copyright myself and let this play for a bit. Hopefully GOA won't copyright me. So they start out watching what's-his-name.
That's me.
What's-his-name not being able to deal with the Glock or whatever.
You know when the government says they have an expert? Things might not always be what they say.
I think that copyrights me just
today,
on the music.
We're going to take a look at the ATF's recent appearance on Face the Nation and break down some of their statements. Hi, I'm Ben, and you're watching the Minuteman Moment.
I don't get the income that the GOA gets, so they probably don't have to worry about the music.
Help us to...
And one of them is sort of the more conventional firearm, which is sometimes they're under the National Firearms Act, right? And the other one is sort of what I would...
How is this guy actually communicating and thinking that this is, that he's able to have a conversation with somebody with these, with the jargon and terminology and stuff?
At this table, there's so many more firearms we could talk about, is we tried to put things in pairs. So if you look at them together, and one of them is sort of the more conventional firearm, which is sometimes they're under the National Firearms Act, right? And the other one is sort of what I would call the attempt to get around it that ATF has.
So, like, she knows what the NFA is, and then she's like, and then he's like, "This is the more conventional firearm." What does that even mean? The more conventional firearm. So he's trying to say the full auto, and he's, somehow that means the more conventional.
Been dealing with through rulemaking and through enforcement.
Okay, it's a tape.
And then he's like, "Get around it." You mean comply with your dumbass law? So, of course, she's going to accept that part. But let's go with what Ben is saying here.
The table of firearms is meant to showcase the differences between regulated and non-regulated item. What's the reason for having an M249 saw front and center?
I didn't notice that until GOA, but seriously, what the hell is a saw doing here? Like he's about to tell you.
It seems like a not-so-subtle attempt to scare the uninformed viewer, placing the scariest firearm front and center for the camera. Not once in the entire interview did they even discuss it. Even funnier, you can own the semi-auto variant of the M249 for the low, low price of $11,000.
Seriously. So if they didn't, I didn't watch the whole interview, but if they didn't even talk about it, that's manipulation, right? So thanks to the GOA for illustrating that one.
Curious they don't mention any of that.
As the director explained, we have at the top here, we have an AK variant. This is a full auto assault weapon, shoulder fired, that is covered under the purviews of the National Firearms Act. So
what is that supposed to mean? First off, assault weapon, we all know, is a fake-ass word. So if he wanted to be accurate, he said assault rifle, which actually might have been technically accurate. But and then she's just nodding her head. So he's not even attempting to talk to the audience. If she's some sort of expert in firearms, which she isn't by her stupid-ass questions, then she's not absorbing, you know, the concept of the NFA. This is just garbage. Horse and pony? Is that the...
This is a AK-47, and what they have done is they have attached a bump stock to that.
How can you tell that? Sorry, what? Where's the bump stock?
All right, so you think that's a knowledgeable journalist who's asking for clarity for the audience, or she just seriously doesn't even know what's going on?
Is there like a physical piece?
But that's a great question, right? Of course, right? How can you tell,
yeah,
right? These two things are the same.
They look, right.
They operate the same. Both of them can shoot right through this 75-round clip.
Both of them can shoot right through this 75-round clip. A lot of people, when you have conversations in online chats or in real life at the range, and you say, oh, that's a magazine, they'll go, FUD, or you're some kind of, I don't even know what the word is for somebody who cares about clarity on terminology, but they'll go, blah, 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 let's disregard using clip and magazine interchangeably. Of course, we're going to jump on this guy. So I don't know. I think there's a reason we say things accurately, and you would hope that the authorities, the regulators, in a situation where they're attempting to educate, right, would be accurate.
There is no reason you would use that for hunting.
Oh my God. We're just going to move on from that one.
And, you know, we're designed to be fired from the shoulders. That combination made it unusually dangerous. Right? So here's two things. These are look exactly alike. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I defy.
These look exactly alike. Right? What is he talking about? What part of those look? They kind of look similar, but they don't look exactly alike. Aside from their color, they're not the same gun, and they don't even have same really characteristics. They both have kind of the same style to them. What a dingus!
You know, one of them, everybody would agree, is a short-barreled rifle because it's sold in one piece. The other one's the exact same thing, but it's sold in two pieces.
What does that have to do with anything? One piece and two pieces. What a dumbass or manipulative way to even get a point across here.
With NFRTR, and then you have this, which is the GCA version of it, which you could walk into the school.
So let's just clarify it again.
Additional tax stamp for it, background check, waiting period,
registration
with NFRTR.
And it's registration with the NFRTR.
And then you have this, which is the GCA version of it, which you can walk into the store and purchase in that configuration. well, we didn't, people are claiming that they could do that, mm-hmm. right? Our rule says that these two things are to be treated the same.
Okay, first, ATF or first?
Horrible. So GOA goes back and forth on this for 7 minutes. It needs more than 7 minutes. That guy should be held accountable. The dingus with the Glock, I guess we'll go watch that guy fiddle with a Glock. There's pretty good here. Or he does a pretty good comparison here, or whatever you call just. Anyway, watch this.
For enforcing gun control, don't understand firearms better than this clip right here. Let me demonstrate how easy it is to take a slide off a handgun. See? Quick and painless. That ATF agent really earned the title of expert, didn't he?
Hope and expect that as Americans, we will all do that. But those aren't, you know, somebody comes into your store in a border state and plunks down $12,000 cash money for one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's no credit card trail. You know, I mean, my word, we hope that people will help us.
I mean, my word, the dingus. So, yeah, that was difficult to watch. I would think we should strive for having watch parties where people do actually watch it, even if you're just breaking it down and having conversations about it. Them having this to themselves, because the antis are going to love this. The antis are watching this over and over, and it's juicing them up. It's charging their batteries. I think most of us don't want to watch this, so we don't have any idea what's going on over there. So instead of tasking us each with doing it ourselves, it'd be cool to see some shows that open, you know, go live and dig into these things. 7 minutes with GOA is all we got that I'm aware of. So, you know, thanks to GOA for doing that, but it'd be great to see more than that. So next, moving on to Professor Yamane. From Wake Forest University has been going to be doing 7 weekly meetings starting on March 25th to do an hour-long, webinar, I guess, on the Sociology of Guns, 10 Essential Observations on Guns in America. So he just recently wrote a book, and he's been doing that fairly transparently or openly with his YouTube channel and with his social platforms. So this is a response to people who've requested some public version of his curriculum, I think. So I don't know if anybody else is planning on attending for 7 weeks starting March 25th from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. Consider putting it into your schedule. Into your calendar. We'll be putting it in gun calendars for sure, and hope to see people there. It looks like an interesting thing. It'll be in a Zoom webinar. Registration's required, but I don't think there's any charge for it. All right, next would be the GOA. Different people from GOA do the 2-hour show where they bring the industry in and talk to them. And this time it was with AR15.com, the forum. Definitely interesting to listen to AR15.com talk about their history. And then, I don't know, it's probably worth listening to. All right, why don't we take a minute here, because I'm having some kind of weirdness happen. I'm going to drink some more of this weak-ass coffee, and hopefully that'll make it go away. So I'm going to throw another commercial up for our store. Spent a lot of money today. So if anybody wants to buy something over at the store, that'll help us out tremendously financially.
GearWebsites.com is your source for firearms-based playing cards and books. We also have mugs, shirts, and posters with designs that we've made live. Of course, we have patches. Every Friday is Free Patch Friday. We appreciate your support. Thank you for shopping at GearWebsites.com.
I think I'd been drinking way too much coffee. All right, we're getting into the gun talk portion of the show. That's doing pretty good. We're about a half an hour in. Again, I want to apologize for all the stuff I missed. I don't even know the stuff I missed, but this was only about two-thirds, three-quarters of what I planned to put in here this week. But we're going to jump in. So this is essentially the stuff that happened earlier in the week. So anything that happened the last couple of days is missing out of here. Next up is the gun talk portion, and we'll start it off with She Fires, who does a show every Sunday. I missed this one. I was driving around to San Diego, so I missed all the Sunday shows this week. But she had a show with the focus on the benefits of a concealed carry permit. You know, it's now, I'm assuming, because of the 29 states with constitutional carry, which is one of the things I would have been talking about this week. Oh, my goodness, no, I'm burping. We've got two states that got their CCW, or what am I saying? They got their constitutional carry. So that's something else I would have liked to have ranted about if I had time to set it up, but it seems like now everybody's the cool nerd thing to do, or the cool hip thing to do, is to call it permitless carry, because calling it permitless carry is somehow good. I'll challenge anybody on that. That sound, not only does it sound stupid, I think it's tactically stupid. So I don't even see any reason to call it permitless carry other than to have something different to say. There's no reason to say it. So anyway, I'm guessing that's why She Fires had her show, because so many states are going with constitutional carry that people do tend to wonder why you would want to have a concealed carry permit. Of course, the obvious answers or the answers are obvious, but sometimes people just don't pay attention to that or don't think about it. And there's probably new reasons, better or more reasonings happening over the years with more and more people being involved. Woods is saying that is too early. That's lame. I don't know if those things are recordable or not. I can try to record it for sure. Or if it's the kind of thing that gets recorded and then it'll be available as a video afterwards or something. You know, sort of like this show. It's live for everybody who's here. And then afterwards, you know, you can watch it as after a rewind. Thunder in the Prairie stuff is coming up, so I know people are already getting ready for Thunder on the Prairie, making the reservations and whatnot. The merch is going to be available through somebody that they know, I think in Nebraska. We have Meet the Pressers had Mike Ox on. I didn't listen to this one, but I put it in here. Oh, and then we have our friends Bullets for Bucks. Look at how well edited this video is. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. The way that this happens and then the stuff and everything. It's a piece of art.
Howdy there, folks.
Let's talk about some kind of rifles in that video. Very well edited, though. Really well edited. Then we had the... What is this called? The... Oh, this was just a random chat. That's why I can't figure out the name of it. So Foss did a random bracket on Sunday. Again, I was driving home from San Diego, so I missed this one. It looked like everybody had a lot of fun talking about muscle cars. I think he said he's going to do another one. Wait, is there another one this weekend? No, there's an overnight this weekend, right? Wait, was there an overnight? There was no overnight last weekend, so there will be an overnight this weekend. Dun, dun, dun. I should start bringing sound effects into the show. Pretty good sound effects. Then we've got... I forgot what she calls her channel now. She changed her channel name to her name, Tessa. And she's not carrying a spare magazine. So there's a bunch of channels that I've watched over the years that have done, I guess, that have gone through the their progression. There's not a progression, but have gone through one of the progressions, their progression of shooting. And she's, made a video on why she doesn't carry a spare magazine. So I'm curious if that's going to be a new fad, that nobody's going to carry spare magazines anymore. But I don't know, again, if there's many there's conversations about what you should do. And usually those conversations are like a bunch of people that get together and tell you their opinion. But occasionally there's, let's say, strategists that get together. And usually those are instructors. Sometimes those are people who have just been there and done that a bunch of different ways. And those tacticians will talk about what, you know, they think the best thing to do is. And, you know, obviously that happens all the time. So at some point back in the day, somebody started figuring out semi-automatics require a magazine and blah, blah, blah. Let's carry a second magazine. And it has more to do with, it has to do with more than just carrying extra capacity. And that's been the norm for a long time, ever since CCW has been around. So now I'm curious, I don't want to get into her specific reasoning, because her specific reasoning is her to business, right? But there's going to be other people that come to this conclusion. Are the justifications for those decisions going to be enough that people start to trend, or are we going to see the traditions stick? And I'll be curious to see, you know, do you base your decisions on what might happen, or do you base your decisions on the things that have happened? You know, like if you can fall down some stairs, do you assume you're never going to fall downstairs because you've never seen anybody fall downstairs? Or do you suspect that anybody could fall downstairs if they were not paying attention? So you're going to pay attention when you go downstairs. I don't know if that's a great analogy or not. But anyway, I'm curious to see if, based on watching her video and her justification, if she's an indication of the way things are going to go, or if people are just going to continue on where they've been going, which is essentially keep doing the same thing over and over. Thanks for the feedback. I guess I don't pay attention to the chat for that kind of stuff enough. I've often ran for like 15 minutes of just talking to myself, it turns out. So thanks for that. Vulcan is out there giving us some feedback. So ever since Guns and Gear Reviews podcast started checking out our Ask Gun Questions show, I've been watching their show. I didn't realize they were on the YouTube. I thought Tony said they were just on podcast. So I don't listen to podcasts that often. I never listen to them. So anyway, I've been watching. It's an interesting show. They've got a whole group of people on. It's like a panel. And they had a bunch of people on from Excess Sights this week, one of their sponsors. So they had, it was a lot of fun watching. Whenever somebody's got whenever the sponsors are on the shows that they sponsor, it's a lot of fun, right? Because it's sort of like they're, it's like family. Speaking of family, Crump lost his niece 3 years ago. So he did a toy drive. It's pretty neat. I've never seen anything like this one quite like this before. So you go to the link and it's essentially a Amazon, and you go to Amazon and through the link, so you don't have to do anything fancy. You just go to Amazon and you're looking at, the link takes you to a wish list. Is that what it's called? Or a registry? I don't know what it's called. I think it's a wish list. And it's a list of all these different toys. And, you know, it's like 10 of this one, 10 of this one, 10 of this one, essentially. And it's a bunch of different stuffed animals and toys for little kids. And you can just pick whatever it is you want out of there. And then instead of having it shipped to you or anything, you just ship it to the toy drive. And then they get shipped to wherever they get shipped to. And then all the toys get distributed to a bunch of kids. So it's a toy drive through Amazon. Pretty neat. And you can just pick the things, the toys that you want to donate. And you pay for them just like you're buying them, but they don't get shipped to you. It's pretty cool. And Crump's been doing that now for a couple of years, or his niece's memory. Speaking of such, this is a pretty interesting video that was posted by our Arizona Game and Fish. This is one of our lakes in Arizona are all, there's only two natural lakes. So all the lakes in Arizona are man-made, and the city lakes, the urban lakes, are like this, where they're definitely man-made. And in this case, there's portions of it that are made accessible. So they had like a bring everybody to the lake type of event, and they had a bunch of differently abled folks join and participate in this big event to commemorate this guy who was a little kid and started enjoying fishing in Arizona, and then eventually worked for the game and fish stock in the lakes and everything. So it's a pretty neat video. We got the little co-host is waking up and making a bunch of noise. So why don't we just, I like this one. I've been playing it every week and I'll continue to play it. I don't know if I get copyrighted or not for it. I usually get copyrighted on these shows, but this is from Michael Cargill in Texas. I guess I'll put the audio on.
So I asked him, you know, they said, here, ask yourself, how come media outlets don't report suicides? So I asked him, you know, they said, if we did, more people would commit suicide. So I said, hey, why do you report shootings or mass shootings?
Let's play that again, just in case you missed it.
Have you ever asked yourself, how come media outlets don't report suicides? So I asked them, you know, they said, if we did, more people would commit suicide. So I said, hey, why do you report shootings or mass shootings?
They're culpable, if not responsible, for the whole thing. Everyone on the planet knows if you want to be infamous, you know what to do and where to do it and what to do it with. And that's a direct result of the media encouraging and amplifying that situation. And they're not taken, they're not held accountable, and they're not taking any responsibility for it. So Massachusetts has a bunch of stuff going on. Toby's been making these thumbnails. I'm guessing that's their mayor or, yeah, their governor. So Rapid Fire Radio, one of the best radio shows. There's only a couple of radio shows anymore that are Second Amendment focused that you can listen to on YouTube, at least. Rapid Fire Radio is not only a good one, but well, one of the reasons it's a good one, I guess, is because since it's live, Toby, the host, is able to kind of deal with the live conversation, the questions that come up. Keeping the show kind of a good balance between gun talk and Second Amendment stuff. And while it's definitely heavy Massachusetts, he's also able to keep it semi off the just Massachusetts. You know, it keeps the topics national to some extent. Although, you know, they definitely have the incentive and the reason to worry about Massachusetts at this point. Anyway, so there's a Tuesday show where he's a part of a radio show on Tuesdays, and then on Wednesdays he streams and hosts his radio show as it's recorded, and then on Sundays they do another radio show of his own on the radio that he streams as well. So quite a bit of Rapid Fire Radio opportunity throughout the week. Then you've got Gun Owners Radio, and Gun Owners Radio is San Diego County Gun Owners. It's an organization in San Diego, and their tagline is Gun Owners, and Gun Owners Radio is like their tagline on socials, I guess I should say. And on Sunday afternoons, they host a radio show, and this week was pretty good because, well, okay, this week was pretty interesting because they had hosted their gun show on the 2nd and 3rd, so March, the first weekend in March. So this was a radio show that happened after the gun show had ended. They had Derek down from Oregon with KidSafe, who set up the indoor BB gun. Well, it was supposed to be outdoor, but the BB gun range, the inflatable BB gun range. And they had him as the first guest on the radio show. They talked about the show being unsuccessful, unfortunately. So they needed, or they anticipated 2,500 attendees. They had 1,500 attendees, which was unfortunate. San Diego has had the venues under attack, and the ability to have gun shows has gone back and forth. So while this isn't the first gun show they've had since they're allowed to have gun shows again, or they've stopped their prohibition of gun shows, I guess I should say, this was not necessarily a large gun show, and it was essentially kind of a mix between a rally and a show and an educational opportunity. There's quite a few classes, Stop the Bleed, and what should I say? Oh man, I can't think of the other ones. There's some other, you know, the classes that you would not necessarily get at a gun show. I don't think they had CCW classes. Maybe they did. But anyway, they had quite a few classrooms. It was like three or four classrooms. And they also had indoor simunition or simulation, I guess, not simunition, but simulation video things happening in a room. So it was more interactive than a typical show in that respect. And it was smaller than shows that most people are going to be familiar with. Anyway, they talked about it quite a bit on the radio show, and we'll see how it goes from there. But again, thanks to our Patreons for making it possible. I would have never even been able to go to the show for sure. But, you know, having the financial support of a bunch of people that subscribe to our projects, you know, means that the servers were paid for and I could spend, you know, the $500 essentially to get over there, a bunch of gas, a bunch of food, hotel room, and, you know, very little. There's really nothing that comes out of that. So again, thanks to the Patreons to, you know, make that possible. It was also a great test run for checking out San Diego. The Gun Rights Policy Conference will be held in San Diego this year. So if anybody's interested in attending that, I was able, between looking around for food and driving around, just exploring the town and checking out a couple of sites and going to some dog parks and the hotel and the venue and different places that we were checking out. We've got to see a bit of San Diego. So if anybody's curious about either driving or traveling to San Diego for a gun rights policy conference, we could have a conversation about that. In fact, now that I'm thinking about it, I might even do a whole show on that, because it was a interesting trip for sure. But unfortunately, the gun show didn't result in what the gun owners radio or the San Diego gun owners would have liked or anticipated. And well, you can hear about it on the radio show, I guess. I'm going to try to have Michael Schwartz from Gun Owners Radio on the show. If he's interested in talking about it. It didn't seem like he was really all that interested in talking about the details of it. But additionally, we'll have Derek on Monday. So we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But since the show wasn't super busy, I had a chance to chat with Derek a bit while we were there. So and kind of get updated. We chat every once in a while at SHOT Show and stuff, but you typically, you're walking down an aisle and both people are looking for something or doing something. So you just kind of chat for a bit and then you get torn, go to your, wherever you were heading in the first place. At least that's normally how we end up chatting. A couple of times we, anyway, so, you know, we've chatted rarely. So this was a chance to really chat for a bit. So that was a good opportunity. And we'll chat on Monday. So anybody that wants to join us on Monday, we'll chat a bit more about KidSafe and Derek's origin story and what's going on with KidSafe. Let's jump over to the calendars and then we'll get into the military interviews. Hillbilly Up is out there. I think I said hey, but if I didn't, welcome. And I don't think I missed any comments. I mean, I missed a lot of comments here. I don't think I missed anything that people wanted up on the screen. If I did, say it again. Got hashtag bacon bit in there. I'll give him a wiggle for that. And a butt rub, a wiggle, pat on the head, little one of these, whatever this is, and one of these. Little dude was out. I was doing some combing of the white dog, the fluffy dog. She needed her combing, so I did some videos on combing the white dog. And, of course, jealousy over here had to see what was going on, and he couldn't handle the fact that she was up there getting attention and all kinds of combing and whatever. So I have one of these little mitt things that you use for the little tiny dogs that don't have any hair. So he's thoroughly exhausted from being combed earlier. It's exhausting for a dog like this to be combed. All right, so we're jumping over to Gun Calendars. Guncalendars.com for anybody who's interested in checking that out is, again, thanks to our Patreons. Just, you know, no ads, nothing going on over there. It's just a calendar with not quite something every day, but if you know something we're missing, let us know. You know, we essentially try to put everything up here that's firearms related or adjacent. A lot of holidays, a lot of anniversaries, a lot of events, future events that are coming up, things that have happened in the past. Something that if you want to chat at the water cooler or at the gun show or at the gun shop or at the gun range, you know, it's just those kind of things. Again, if you know something that we're missing, definitely let us know. So where are we at? We are on the, essentially, we're at the 9th, right? Kind of. It's the 8th. Little dude's waking up. Stretching. Let's go back to sleep. Today is the anniversary, well, not only just 308 Day, which I guess I don't have in here, which I need to put in here. It's also the anniversary of Elmer Keith being born. Does anybody know who Elmer Keith is? Elmer Keith? Anyone? Anyone? Born in 1899, today, in 1899. Passed away in 1984 at 85 years old during World War II. He was an inspector at the Ogden, Utah Arsenal. Rifles that he inspected have the cartouche stamped with OGEK in the rectangular box. He's the guy that in 1935 invented the 357 Magnum cartridge, and then later on in 1956 created the 44 Magnum cartridge. In 1963 invented the 41 Magnum. So the 44 Magnum single action Black Hawk revolver model 29 is thanks to Elmer Keith. So pretty influential guy in guns in a lot of different ways. So if you've got yourself an M1 and you don't know about all that, maybe check your cartouche. If it says OGEK, then you know that you got a rifle that he literally inspected. Anyway, we'll move on. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the passing in 1995 of Galil, best known for inventing the Galil. He also helped with the Uzi. I can't say his first name. I don't know how to say that. Sunday is daylight savings time, so all the rest of y'all are going to fiddle with your clocks. All we do is don't, and then have to deal with what time everybody changed to. It's very difficult. Here's the thing. It's very difficult being in Arizona because we don't have to do nothing, but that means we have to constantly worry about what y'all did. So we just go to bed minding our business, and we wake up, and all the rest of you shifted everything around. Very difficult for us. We'll manage, though. But just remember us on Sunday when y'all are, I don't know if you sleep early or if you don't sleep enough. I don't know how it goes for y'all. But we have to deal with the repercussions of all that. It's also the Sunday, the 10th, is also the anniversary of the M855 ammo ban being denied. So this was back in 2015. We're going to have a little story time. Grab yourself something because I'm going to grab some coffee here. We don't have anything else going on for the rest of the week, so I can go ahead and chat about this one a little bit. No, I don't want to suggest nothing else happens for the rest of the week. I'm just saying we don't have anything in the calendar for the rest of the week. There's probably other stuff that I just haven't put in there. But again, thanks to our Patreons. If we had 10 times the Patreons, there'd be more stuff in here because I'd have more time. But it's just us, so Peppy doesn't hardly do nothing. At least typing into the websites, at least. But we'll take a little time here and talk about this one. I think it's important. That's why I have it in the calendar. So M855, what is that? That's that green tip ammo. So XM855 is the military blemish, like the stuff that the military didn't pass whatever specs. They put an X in front of it and sell it. So that's XM855. You might have seen that out there. You don't really see M855 because it's military. They buy it and use it. sometimes you get it surplus, but most of the time you only see that stuff if your uncle's paying you to shoot it. But anyway, M855 is just green tip 556. M855 is for the military, and you shouldn't be able to import it anymore. And I forgot what the justification was. It was obviously another diversion from some other political issue that they were probably suffering from, and an opportunity to demonize gun owners, and specifically this one type of ammo, because it, you know, is used in the AR-15, of course, and they need to demonize any aspect of that as possible. So essentially, they did the comment period, and they said that this M855 was armor piercing, and that makes it exempt from essentially any of the ammo bans. Typically, when they ban import of ammo, they'll say except for 556. Well, you know, that doesn't sit well with people who want your rights, you know, don't want you to own property. So they're going to say, oh no, how do we remove that exception? Well, they'll say the stuff with the green tip on it, or the green band on it, on the bullet, means that there's armor-piercing ammo in there. Is it armor-piercing? No. They put metal in there because it's cheaper than lead, and you know, ballistically it works, so they put it in there. But it's not armor-piercing so much as it's potentially, you know, has the, they call it, I forget what they call it. Anyhow, they decided it was armor-piercing, and they said, where we're going to go ahead and ban the importation of it. So they did a comment period, and this was in 2015. In 2013, Obama came out with 23 executive actions and said, even though the Congress, that means the representatives of the people, won't create assault weapons bans, we want assault weapons bans. We're going to go, we're going to sidestep the three parts of government and the balance of power. We're going to sidestep all that as the executive branch, and we're going to create executive actions that essentially create law. And that was frustrating for a bunch of people in 2013, and grassroots action resisted that. A bunch of people did what was necessary in all different kinds of ways, including calling representatives, removing people from office, stopping funding, you know, all the different things that are necessary to show representatives that you're not happy with some actions, or in this case, potential actions. And the result was, at the end of 2013, when we created Every Second Matters and when Gun Channels was created, as a result of this like momentum that was created, you know, at the end of 2013, the playing field, the community, the gun community was you could taste it, you could smell it, you could feel it. You'd go to gun shows and there was an enthusiasm because we had just won. We had all been frustrated with the concept that the president was going to use a new tactic to create gun control, and people's reaction to that resisted it. And that was, it was there. We were a bunch of people that had won that challenge. We had overcome that thing that was in front of us. And that was a good time to be doing stuff. Well, the other side couldn't handle that, of course. They don't like to get loose. And they decided, well, we're going to keep throwing shit at them. And they did some other stuff. This wasn't the only thing going on. But this M855 ammo ban was kind of a result of us kicking the shit out of the whole 23 executive actions. So in 2015, and this was like right at the beginning of 2015, it was March 16th. What am I saying? We're talking about the anniversary of it. So, you know, pretty much the beginning of 2015, because I can remember this all happening. There was very few people that were still Second Amendment activists, reasonably, right? Like everyone had just won. So everyone took a sigh of relief and went back to business as usual. So 2014, remember he said this stuff in the beginning of 2013, people pushed back during 2013. So by 2014, everybody took a sigh of relief and went back to business as usual. We created Every Second Matters at that point, that part in time, that era, because we knew that that was what was going on. And, you know, you're not going to keep people upset with bullshit. Sky is falling. You know, there's no need to keep people artificially upset. So that was not a strategy that was necessary. But just like a volunteer fire department, you don't have to be worried about fire all the time. But hey, have a couple of people that are able to put out a fire so that if one happens, you're not all starting from scratch all the time. So that was Every Second Matters. So, you know, about a year later, not even, whatever, you know, 12 months later after this, you get this push by the ATF. Well, we're going to throw this comment period out there. Now, we had had other comment periods before, and we'd been clobbered by them. So this comment period, we did the clobbering. And this was why I'm talking about this one, because the ATF received more than 80,000 comments. They only needed, I forget at the time, or what they expected at the time, like 20,000 or something. They got 80,000. And this wasn't 80,000 comments from like a form on the GOA website or FPC, you know, encouraging people on Instagram to do this. Yes, those happened, but this was 80,000 people that were fucking pissed that they were going to suggest that AR-15 ammo was, you know, the culprit or to blame or the scapegoat or whatever compromise bullshit they were trying to come up with. So that was a success. Now, since then, we've totally forgotten it. The people that were responsible, you know, were regular people. They weren't somebody who could put that feather in their cap so that they could just, you know, say, hey, let's do that again. It was just a regular people got pissed. And either that chemistry or that set of circumstances just wasn't there, you know, whenever this last comment period's happened with the bump stocks and the receivers. We got our asses handed to us. But anyway, I go on to remember these days because they remember these occasions, these anniversaries of these events, because we do get our asses handed to us once in a while, but every once in a while we kick ass too. So, you know, we got to remember the good and the bad. You take them both, and there you have the facts of 2A, I believe is the way that song goes. All right, well, like I say, there's probably other stuff that happened this week. If we wanted to take even more time during the show, I could open up my real notes and find out what they are. But unless somebody requests that, we'll just say that the next thing coming up on St. Patrick's Day is the 17th, I guess, and that's the anniversary of Smith & Wesson caving to the Clintons in the year 2000. And that's where we get the Hillary hole. And that's where we get all the other reasons that people hate Smith & Wesson. Some people hate Smith & Wesson. Some people don't. Some people still hold that grudge. Other people say you don't need to hold grudges, especially against guns that we like. Let's see. Then you've got Browning patented the his bolt action with a magazine back in 1882. Now, Browning's got a lot of patents. So every once in a while, if I see something that, you know, lets me know that there's an actual date that he patented something, I'll put it in here. They're not always necessarily mind-blowing. A bolt-action gun with a magazine in 1882. I don't know. It's 30 years after the bored-through-cylinder revolver was invented. It was 40 years before the 1911 was invented. You know, it was probably an era of lever-action guns. So a bolt-action gun with a magazine was probably kind of like an AK-47 maybe back then. I don't know. Would a bolt action gun with a magazine be better than a lever action gun if you were living in 1882? I don't know. I'm sure Winchester bought the patent, right? And then sat on it. Woods is saying the Ruger is similar. People hate them because of Bill Ruger. Yeah, you know. And what he did was, you know, heinous in his own direction because he basically sat up and did something that no one asked him to. That was annoying. And, that was compounded by people that don't like Ruger in the first place. You know, if that would have been, I mean, Colt's dead a long time ago by then, but you know, if it would have been like somebody, the head of a company that everybody loved, like if Stoner would have done it or something, I wonder if it had been the same amount of, you know, divisional hate or whatever you call that. But you know what I mean? When people hate Ruger anyway, it's easy to hate the guy for something he does. If you love Ruger, you might not be so, you know, you might be like, hey, man, why don't you stop that? Hey, man, why don't you stop snoring over there, buddy? He won't do it. He's going to keep snoring. He don't care. So the 22nd, unless something changed, the 22nd of March is Big Sandy up in about halfway between Phoenix and New Mexico. Or what am I saying? Halfway between Phoenix and Las Vegas is Big Sandy. And you've got the IF, it is happening. I think this was tentative whenever I posted it here, but tentatively there's a New Hampshire 2A rally coming up on the 23rd of March. That's pretty cool, which is also the anniversary of the the Patrick Henry speech he made where he said, give me liberty or give me death. So that phrase comes from a speech, and that speech happened in, 1775, coming up here in March. We got the International Cartridge Show. So if you had real money, you would go from, could you? Yeah, you could. You could go to Big Sandy on Friday, and then I guess just haul ass, start driving, and get to New Hampshire, get to their Freedom Rally on Saturday, and then on the way back, go to St. Louis for the International Cartridge Show. Is that the big one? I think that's the big one. Dang. One year, I'll be able to get to that thing. That'll be fun. I'm listing the stuff out in a couple of weeks because it's turning out that I'm posting this usually a week later, just the way it works out. So we're going to start going a couple of weeks forward on the gun calendar stuff. So anyway, if people are wondering why I'm going so far forward with the calendar stuff, it's because when this goes up as a podcast, they'll be hearing the second week's worth of stuff that week, if that makes sense. So I'm just trying to cover two bunches of people listening to this stuff in two different zones. All right, next up is the military interview shows. And man, I mean, I always say these things are worth listening to, and they are definitely worth listening to this week. I'm going to start down here, and we'll start with this one. This one is from Combat Story, the Apache pilot, and then CIA. He interviews people about their combat stories, and this one is a guy who flew an F-15 in all different kinds of ways. So he started out as a Marine, then he was a police officer, and then he started flying an F-15. Like, how cool a story is that? This is the second round with him, so this is like a two-parter, like a long interview cut into two parts. A good interview, it's fun. Like, pilots talking to each other is always fun. Then you get the Independence Fund. This was 1 hour and 45 minutes or something at SHOT Show. It's being referenced in lots of different things. Hopefully they're going to chop it up and put some sound bites out there, as well as some good nuggets. There were some really good gold nuggets in here for like ways to have conversations, things to have conversations about, and some things that you can actually do, like some actual actions that can be taken. Then we get the conversation with this guy, who's a guy from the SAS a long time ago. Super fun listening to this guy. And then this one, awesome, awesome interview. So Pinal County here in Arizona is kind of north of us and by Phoenix a little bit. And they deal with one of the more dangerous parts of the country. There's a road that goes from San Diego across to Arizona and kind of in between Phoenix and Tucson. And that road is notorious for, because there's a Indian reservation, the Tohono O'odham Reservation comes up from Mexico. It's half in Mexico and half in the United States. So it can come up, or the drugs and stuff come up, and human traffic comes up very close to I-8, and it's a very violent portion of the country. There's only, it's like a 4-hour stretch of highway. It's very long. And there's only like two gas stations, and those gas stations aren't manned. It's like a really crazy area of the country. So it happened to be the area of the country I was driving in going to San Diego, which was interesting. So I listened to half of this conversation before we drove over there, and then the other half when I got back. So super fun, but a super interesting conversation. Gets you up to date on some of the international issues that we've got, at least here in Arizona. which I'm sure are quite a bit different, or at least different flavor than what they have in California, and versus, I don't know what happens in New Mexico. New Mexico really doesn't have that big a international border because of the way Texas has this little goofy panhandle thing that reaches up underneath of New Mexico, kind of. That's where El Paso is. I mean, El Paso is in Texas, but it's essentially underneath New Mexico. But anyway, so, you know, the border issues are different based on the cartels and the situation and the, essentially, if it's private land or public land, you know, who, what the cartels have to walk into, if they're walking into somebody's backyard, or if they're walking into a forest, or if they're walking into a reservation. Anyway, really cool interview, or really cool conversation. And again, two-parter. So probably like 3 or 4 hours altogether. Then we'll get into what we worked. We talked about this week. We did an Instagram show. Each week we do something similar to this, but with Instagram. We do that on Wednesdays in the afternoon. And then I guess I didn't really post too much of what we did this week. So next week, I already mentioned, but we'll have Derek on, and we'll chat for about an hour about what he's got going on, his origin story, and what KidSafe is all about. I'm dying. And then must be getting over an hour, because it's my voice falls apart after about an hour, I guess. This is over on the other channel where we post a bunch of gear reviews and stuff, but I can't wait to get out and play with this thing. This is a bird feeder that has a camera in it, but the camera has AI in it, and that AI can tell you what kind of birds you're looking at. So I'm looking forward to playing with that. I think the service is like $30, so I'll probably get it for like a month just to see how well it works. But yeah, how cool is that? You fill it up with bird seed, and then plug it in. Well, I don't plug it in. Put batteries in it, and it'll Wi-Fi the video, so there's cordless or whatever. And then, yeah, when a bird flies up, it records, and then it'll identify the bird, tell you what kind of bird is sitting in front of it eating. And that's neat, because here in Arizona, at least, we have a lot of migration that goes through here. It's desert, right? So the cities, the towns and stuff where we have irrigation and lakes and all that kind of stuff, washes and puddles and bird feeders, they'll attract all different kinds of birds. So, I mean, I don't really pay that much attention, but I know over the years, you know, you see a billion different kind of birds. And if you pay attention, you can kind of anticipate when the different birds will come through. So we have a ton of hummingbirds here, a lot of hummingbirds. Well, pretty much all kinds of birds. Like I say, they don't have a lot of choice. If they're going to come through the western portion of the country, they're either going to go fly over the desert, so they've got to be flying really far, or they're going to kind of hop through the cities and towns and stuff. So we'll see quite a few different kind of birds. So anyway, I'm hoping this can get a real workout. Let's see. And then, I guess I did have another one down here. We did a coaching show on Tuesday talking about video titles. Every Tuesday, we try to help people that are creating, right? People to create content. Hopefully, people that are creating content for Second Amendment purposes, but, you know, we don't discriminate. So if you're creating content for something else, you could probably listen to the show also and get something out of it. Sometimes it's nut and bolts. Sometimes it's strategy. Sometimes it's something specific. But in this case, just kind of some basics and an updated, fresh look at something that seems pretty basic, but it's kind of like the basics are always kind of necessary, right? Super necessary, some people could say. So hopefully it was a good one. I got some good feedback on it. We're not really preaching or nothing, just having the conversation. So if you want to join us for those, that's in the early afternoon on Tuesday mornings. We talked about Toby doing the Cape Gun Works Rapid Fire Radio Show. I do that show on Tuesdays as kind of a warm-up or a opening act for Toby's show. So it usually is going to, I have to figure out what the times are. Either I'll have to change my time to accommodate all you people to change your clocks, or the show will be at a different time. But I don't honestly remember anymore. I think I was trying to do it at noon. Maybe I'll keep doing it at noon. If I keep doing it at noon, that means I have to get up and do it at 9. I'm with Woods now. Now I'm back to Pacific time. So I have to get used to living in Pacific time after tomorrow, I guess. Anyway, so whenever I'm complaining about this to y'all live, people in the podcast are wondering why I'm talking about something that happened like a week or two ago. Anyway, that's one of the time twists we have to deal with when listening to a podcast, I guess. All right, well, another week of people being quiet in the chat, but there are plenty of people voted in the poll. I asked the same question almost every week. How was this week for 2A? I didn't really talk about it earlier in the show. Probably should have. But a bunch of people did realize that the poll is there like it is each week. And we got a 50% for OK week. What happened? We got a 50% for OK week, 42% for good week, and an 8% for great week. Nothing for bad week. Trying to think, there's actually quite a few things happen this week, and like I say, I didn't really get to list them at the beginning of the show. Will I have time to do an update to this show? I don't think so. So that stuff might get lost to my time, at least in our thing here. If I can next week, I'll try to address everything that's possible. Since we only really lost a quarter of this week's show, maybe we can put it on till next week's show. So maybe anticipate a little bit longer show next week. We'll see. Anyway, thanks everybody for your participating in the poll, for voting us up on the thumbs or whatever. I can see that we got a bunch of thumbs out there. Much appreciated. If anybody ordered stuff over at the store, much appreciated. Like I say, I spent way too much money today. So any financial contributions are much appreciated, one capitalist to another. And let's see. Looks like we've got nothing else to chat about tonight. Nobody's saying anything as we wrap it up, so we'll put another plug out there for our store, and we'll be back sometime tomorrow. Hopefully, if I didn't really talk with Tony this week, but if he's around, we'll be back for Ask Gun Questions tomorrow. And tomorrow we're going to be actually answering gun questions, so bring your questions live.
GearWebsites.com is your source for firearms-based playing cards and books. We also have mugs, shirts, and posters with designs that we've made live. Of course, we have patches. Every Friday is Free Patch Friday. We appreciate your support. Thank you for shopping at GearWebsites.com.
Hillbilly Up is saying thanks for the show. Our great show, thanks. And I'm saying it's a lot to talk in. I've had co-hosts on the show for a long time. You know, if there were episode 1700 now, we had co-hosts for probably, 1500 of those shows or something. So I don't really like doing it without a co-host. I just don't know who to have a co-host in the middle of the night like this. It's not necessarily the easiest time to do a show. But if we can figure something out, we'll figure something out at some point. But, thanks for being around in the wee hours. Most of the people that listen to this as a podcast, based on the feedback, are people that are doing shift work or driving, usually in the middle of the night. That's why I like to do the show. I started doing the show in the middle of the night, but I just don't mind doing it. This isn't really the middle of the night, honestly. The cheat code here is that when we're doing it at midnight Eastern, it's like either 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock over here. So it's kind of late here, not really. And pretty soon it's going to be like evening here. So just because it's late over there, the rest of us are over here doing it in the evening. But still, we appreciate the people that do stay up for the show or that join us for the show live. The interactive nature of the internet is my favorite thing about it. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow, or wait, next week, but we'll be doing a different show tomorrow. I'll throw this up, the traditional Ninja Strike for Patriot in the Dark out there.
Cheat. Ninja? Ninja? Ninja?
It's 11:59 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music.